Bombs, powder keg of dynamite. We got this hockey on roll tonight. I said, don't be slow. The boy in the back, you know. I said, don't be slow. Ready to rock and roll.
Welcome to Leafs Lounge, a hockey podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam, and with me is my co-host, Travis. Travis, how's it going?
Pretty good, Adam. Can't complain. Had a good day, considering how bad the Leafs showed up last night.
Yeah, well, it's been a couple of games like that, unfortunately. But here we are. It's been a while since we got together. So we've got a lot to discuss and talk about. Since we were last here, the Leafs have now hit the quarter pole, the 20-game mark. And in that 20 games, we have a record of 9 wins, 7 losses, and 4 overtime losses, be it in the shootout or in overtime itself. We are currently sitting in a wild card spot, and we have 22 points. In the games that we haven't covered, Travis, the Leafs have shown some really good stretches and some really terrible stretches. Some of the good was their first game against Boston, where we won 4-3 in overtime. We also had one of our better games against San Jose, where it was a 4-1 win. And the other games that I was really impressed by was against LA, which was, let's see...
November 5th, 3-1 for the Leafs.
Yeah, November 5th. And the 7th of November, which was a 2-1 win against Vegas. There was also that win against Philadelphia, which was the 4-3 overtime or shootout win that went 11 rounds. It went about 8 rounds too long. But, you know, you get the win, you take the win, and you move on. Since we last talked, Tavares has returned from injury and has done quite well in his return. I believe he's got 7 points.
I'm not exactly sure.
It's around there anyway, since his return. Because he got 2 last night. And I remember in the game they were talking about him having 5 points in 5 games, so he now has 7. But with Tavares returning, unfortunately, Marner has gone down with an injury. I believe it's an ankle injury.
Ankle, knee.
Yeah, and he's going to be gone for around 4 weeks, I think, is the projected timeline. So that's, you gain one and you lose one. But we also did get Hyman back, which did have a little bit of an impact last night, I thought.
I agree.
The strengths, again, are I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Austin Matthews in terms of a point production perspective. At least I see him trying to improve on the defensive side of the puck. He'll occasionally make some mistakes in his back check and whatever, what have you, but he's constantly trying to improve on that side of the puck. I'm trying to see his statistics here. He's got 13 goals. Let me see. 13 goals and 13 assists for 26 points in 20 games. So he's above a point a game. He's sitting at a plus 10. So that's, you know, that's good. I think the other player that's actually from the offensive side of things that's impressing me is Nylander.
There you go.
Well, I'm gonna get to the defensive side of the puck, which isn't so exciting, but offensively he's having a much better year, which kind of I mean we were all hoping for, and which kind of he himself had said he was going to have. So on that respect, he's living up to what he said. I'm trying to see here, but the Leaf website here it is, stats. It's a bit of a shit show. Actually, the NHL site as a whole, they've changed their look, and it's I don't like it. It's not very very user friendly. I can say that. It used to be better the old way, but I'm looking it up here. Give us a second. But what are you thinking of Matthews, Travis, and also the games that I mentioned? You know, the positives. What are you thinking?
I think inconsistency is the hardest, is the biggest problem, to be honest with you, Adam. And in their last 10 games since we spoke, they went 4-4-2, and there was a stretch there where they won 3 in a row. So you take that out, and that's 1-4-2, which is just not very good. So I think that they are not playing very good defensively. A lot of lapses in judgment. The backup role, Hutchinson, was clearly terrible, and we weren't winning any back-to-backs, which was killing us. Like, it was an automatic loss.
Right.
Which every back-to-back we have lost, you know, regardless of team, whether it be Ottawa, whether it be Buffalo, whether it be Montreal.
Yeah, but Travis, the numbers. Remember Babcock and the numbers, right?
Yeah, that's very
frustrating. This whole strategy, right?
I think Matthew's been okay. I'd like to see him be a bit better defensively, but I think that's actually gotten worse the last year and a half compared to when he first came in the league. But and Nylander, I've been pleasantly surprised with as well. Well, not pleasantly surprised. I thought he was going to be doing well.
Yeah.
And sure, sometimes he doesn't make the right play defensively, but
right,
more often than not, even his back checking will lead to scoring chances. So that's why I guess it's frustrating for Leaf fans to not see him back check every time. But offensive ability is just
it's consistency with the back check, which is, and that goes for Matthews too. Sometimes they're all in and they do it, you know, and then sometimes it looks like they just want to get the bench faster than Superman can run.
I will say this: Mitch Marner is not almost $4 million better player than William Nylander. That is not true. And clearly, we could have used a little bit less money given to Nylander, a little bit more given to a backup goalie or a sixth defenseman, because we kind of took it on the chin with that. Although it was nice to see Dermott come back since then.
Yeah, he's been good, yeah.
He's been good. You know, he's had some lapses, but the one that really frustrates me on the defensive side is Tyson Barrie.
Yeah.
I mean, even on that third goal last night against the Islanders, his defensive partner, Muzzin, had the puck and was pushing it up. And I look, and who's just breaking ahead of Muzzin is Barrie. So there's nobody back there. You stick Kerfoot, you leave Kerfoot back there. It just makes no sense. And he is not, clearly we're not getting a good end of that deal. Even though Kerfoot's been just as good as Kadri, we're still not getting what we should be out of Tyson Barrie.
I was trying to figure out where he was going on that play as well. I'm like, we don't have the puck. Where are you going?
It's like your other D partner got the puck. He's pushing it up. Hang back a bit. Maybe it would have been a 2-on-1 against that guy down low, maybe he wouldn't have got that backhand off.
Like, wait till we have clear control of the puck before you start, you know.
Exactly.
Like the flash out of the zone. But I just want to speak to your point about the backup and all that Babcock nonsense. you know, his numbers and his strategy. Look, first of all, I'm going to flat out say it. Hutchinson has not been good enough.
No.
In the games that he played. I mean, to me, I don't care how bad, and they were bad, our defense was in that Montreal game where we had a 4-1 lead. But you have a 4-1 lead, and it's Montreal, for God's sakes. Look, let's be clear here. I mean, sure, they got Ty Domi's kid.
There's no excuse for Montreal to be anywhere near Toronto.
What I'm saying is, yeah, he's talented, and that little runt of Gallagher there, he has some skill. But the rest of the maybe Weber when he's on the power play with that bomb of a shot is. But aside from those three, you know, on the offensive side of the puck, they're mediocre, and on the defensive side of the puck, if it's not for Price, they're not in games. When you have a 4-1 lead against Montreal, look, maybe the couple of 2-on-1s, you can't blame Hutchinson. But some of those goals, like, man, you got to stop those. And so, you know, and even again in the 5-2 loss to Montreal, we're coming out of the second period tied 2-2. Even the backup at some point is going to have to make that big game-saving game. Like, they have to be capable of... I'm not saying every save's got to be a game-saver, but there's going to be that time where they need to make that save to turn the game around. And Hutchinson has proven to be incapable of doing that. Again, let me reiterate, because I don't want to throw him totally under the bus. Our defense in front of him has been atrocious.
That's being kind.
Right. And the third point is, he should have never started the games he started, because about 95% of them were against divisional rivals, and Anderson should have been starting those games, and maybe he should have started the game before. But yeah, that goes back to Babcock being a moron and a stubborn mule and not wanting to change his strategy. So there are three factors that are at play there. You know, part of it's Hutchinson's lack of ability, part of it's Babcock's stupidity, and part of it is the fact that our defense is like Wonder Woman's jet, invisible. You like the comic book reference I'm throwing out there today. That's three already.
Of course, of course.
You know, that, and now in their infinite wisdom, they've said, all right, I know the solution to this problem. We're going to send Hutchinson down and call up Kazmir Kaskasuo, because let's give him all the credit he wants. He's due. Kazmir Kaskasuo is having a fantastic year with the Marlies. No doubt about it.
We're very lucky that Sidney Crosby has surgery and will not be playing on Saturday.
yeah, there's only one problem. Malkin is playing.
That's okay. I'm okay with one star. If we can't beat Pittsburgh without Crosby, then it's time to
better pack it in against them for the rest of the year.
Yeah. So I think that's the best thing for our goalie anyway.
Right. But here's my issue, Travis. As good as Kaskasuo has been, let's not forget that the Marlies' defense is far superior to ours.
You're not wrong, especially like in terms of comparing to the rest of the AHL. But I argue that there's nowhere to go but up for the Leafs' defense.
Right.
I would like to personally see maybe CeCe get switched up with Hall, because I think Hall's really he's really impressed me.
I agree.
But he's really simple.
Just to go back to Kaskasuo for a second. As good as he is, again, you can't play him against Boston because they're a divisional rival. I get that. And yes, I understand Crosby's gone. That's a bit of a help. However, if the Leafs defense plays like they've been playing, right? Kazmir Kaskasuo is going to get hung out to dry, and it's going to erode at his confidence, no difference than it did Hutchinson's. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So now, again, I'm not a $50 million paid coach. So maybe I'm an idiot. A lot of people would probably say that I am. And that's fine. But, and I get it. We got to lighten the load of Anderson. I get the whole nine yards. I understand. But for the situation we're in right now, for what, maybe just this once, here's my idea. Just hear me out. You have Anderson play both games this weekend, right?
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I'd rather play Kaskasua against either Vegas or Arizona than Pittsburgh. That's just me. I mean, am I insane for thinking that, Travis?
No, but you could never, you couldn't, if Anderson got hurt in the second game, you'd never recover from it. That would be such a terrible move. Now, I'm not saying I'm in agreement. I would let him ride a bit because he's been playing fantastic. He was not the reason that we lost to the Islanders last night. He's been fantastic. But we do need a backup. You do need somebody just in case. So I'd argue that this is probably... Now, if Crosby was playing, Adam, I think I would probably even 100% agree with you that you should do that. Because I think it'd be a bit more dangerous.
Yeah.
But I think that this is like a blessing. Like, this is just my, I just want to preface this. This isn't Mike Babcock being super smart or anything like that. The backup was going to play this game, regardless if Crosby was or wasn't playing, to trade it for two more All-Stars, regardless, he would play the backup.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't want him to be rewarded for this break. Because I hate that rule. I'm not quite as much as you, but almost not quite as much. Like, I'm pretty certain if you've seen him down the street, walking down the street, you probably go up to him and say, your backup rule stinks. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I mean, that's very polite way of the way I put it. I mean, there'd be a lot more expletives and something in Italian. But yeah, it'd be something along those lines, you know.
Yeah. So I'm a little bit under that, but still, I think that just because of the way it worked out, I think it's good to just, because we're going to need a backup, and I'm not really, I don't know about you, but Neuwirth doesn't exactly scream to me solid backup or anything like that. And we have no money. And we have no money. We have no money either because of the Mariner contract, so we can't go out and get anybody.
He couldn't stay healthy, so that's Neuwirth's problem. Now, however, I'm not saying Kaskasuo can't do it. He can't be the backup. He can't be the guy that solidifies the backup position. I'm just saying you run with Babcock's. Yes, and I understand. Again, we caught a break with Crosby being out, but with Babcock's continuous stubbornness of that goaltending strategy, you run the risk of having him end the same way as Hutchinson if the Leafs defense continues playing the way they are. Again, so here's the big takeaway. The Leafs defense has got to improve.
Yes, you are right. If it was running the defense, and the worst thing about Babcock, the worst thing to me is once he has a line, forward line in his head or a defensive pairing in his head, it's almost impossible getting up the entire season.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he stays with that way too long. I mean, I don't know about you, but like I said before, Cody Ceci, he doesn't screen to me. He used to be getting top pairing minutes. Like, there's nothing he has ever done to me that screams, you should be playing with Morgan Riley.
But Travis, here's what I don't understand. With Cody Ceci, it's not just Babcock taking the drugs. Because today, Kyle Dubas came out and said, well, I don't understand why people are giving CeCe such a hard time. He's been a really good defenseman for us. And I'm like, what game are you people watching?
Now, I understand that a little bit from him because that's an asset for him if he wants to trade him. Like, he can't come out and say, Yeah, Cody Ceci's been terrible for us. He's been a dumpster fire.
I understand that, but
like, I understand now more so. But Mike Babcock, Adam, Mike Babcock never had a problem telling people, especially on 1-year contracts, that they're playing terrible. Like poor old Jason Spezza never even got a chance to. Like, geez, he never even got a chance to get off the plane and land in Newfoundland before he Mike Babcock was saying, "Yeah, we'll see if he must be on Fort Line." And Jason Spezza's like, "Dude, we sat there for 2 hours in your office before I signed, and I said I was up for all this. Why are you doing this?" And we all know that he scratched, Mike Babcock scratched Mike Modano on his 1,500th game, so he ended his career with 1,499 games. So Mike Babcock can be a pretty big jacket.
What a lovely human being he is for that.
Now, if we win a cup, I don't care if he kicks old ladies down the street. so pardon my French, but
that's how desperate we are. Travis is willing to kick some old ladies.
Look how far I've got. I'm usually a sensible person, but it's just really frustrating. He's so stubborn, and it can get frustrating for the fan base. I just don't know where it's gonna. Like, I'm sorry, take Cody Ceci. I don't believe he's been like, he hasn't been like our seventh best defenseman. Like, he's been in the six, maybe five, six, but he can be on the third pairing. I don't understand why you don't elevate Dermott and elevate Hall and bring back Barry and CeCe's minutes. Like, put him on third pairing.
Yeah.
Put Dermott with Muzzin and put Hall with Riley and just see how it goes. But no, he will never try that. He will never change his pairings. And when we watch him tomorrow night, Riley will be playing with CeCe, Muzzin will be playing with Barry, and the two guys that have been a nice improvement will be on the third pairing, not getting nearly as not enough minutes. So like you said, our defensive strategy has to change, and maybe that's one way that it does change. But with that jackass that's our coach sometimes, I don't know if that'll ever change. And that gets frustrating.
And that's what I was going to ask you, because I'm trying to figure out what exactly they're doing in the defensive zone. And it doesn't look like anything sensible.
No, it doesn't at all, Adam. And just from personal hockey experience playing for like 20 years that I have, the defensive pairings are usually like, they complement each other. They're kind of like peanut butter and jelly. Like, they go together. You can see it working. And I don't see it with any of the pairings but the last pairing. And I think you can break that last pairing up and make two, like, complete the two top pairings with it. But I don't see him having a willingness to do that at all. So maybe they shore it up with the offense, like the forwards coming back. But it that's a hard thing to teach into a team 20 games into the season already.
Like, I was talking to a friend of mine last night while the game was going on. And we were both mystified by, you know, what the Leafs call defense. And we were both kind of fascinated by what the Islanders were doing defensively, at least for, you know, 17 minutes or 57 minutes of the game before the Leafs decided, you know, shit, we better play this game. But he brought up a good point. So I'm going to take a cue from him. So thanks for this, Tony. But, you know, like, if you look at Barry Trotz, what's he telling the Islanders to do? To keep the opposing forwards to the perimeter. Don't give up chances in the slot, and not to take any bad pitches. You know, it's simple. It was effective, like I said, for 57 minutes for the Islanders. And they were still getting offensive chances. Why? I mean, are our players incapable of playing that way?
I don't. It shouldn't be. I don't think. I think we have four lines that can skate and cause a bit of havoc. Even Gauthier's line, that is not a problem for. That's not our problem this year. Like the fourth line, like it was last year. That's not a problem this year. I gotta say, I don't. They even put the fourth line out for defensive drives because Gauthier is doing such a good job in the faceoff dots. that like they get even more time. So I just, Adam, it gets so frustrating how you can't get pucks in deep and you just can't go going around and around and around in the defensive end. It makes no sense. Yeah. The team is not playing like five-man units, playing like individual units or two-man units. It's not playing like five-man unit, and it's pretty easy to see in hockey. You're not going to win that way.
So my thing is like, I don't know, take a cue from the Islanders and maybe see if you can implement that kind of strategy, because they keep it simple and they win. And let's be honest, at the very least up front, their team isn't better than we are.
Oh God, no, it's not up front or defensively. I don't think it is, or goaltender.
No, but, and yet look at where they are.
They're leaps and bounds. They're 10, second,
10-1-1 in 11 games.
Second best record in the Eastern Conference behind Washington.
Right.
Both of those teams have been head and shoulders above the rest.
So you know, and it's not a difficult strategy. It seems like the Babcock and the Leafs are employing something that is rocket science, and they just can't get it. And how many grade A chances in the slot can you give the opposition?
Oh my God, poor old Freddie. I don't even understand how. Oh, he played so well, and. Yeah. He's been hung dry, so like what you're saying with the backup coming up now, they could destroy his confidence. It's very well possible. It's happened before to numerous goalies.
Yeah.
So I can understand your nervousness there, especially the way they play. But I'm just hoping that we need a big Friday Saturday back to back performance, Adam. I don't want to say playoffs are in jeopardy, but. You got to start winning now because it's going to be tough catching up.
Definitely. I mean, look, they can still definitely. We can still, you know, turn this thing around. But you know, there's got to be a willingness from the players to put in more of a consistent effort. They cannot play 3 minutes of a game and expect to win. I mean, they almost came back. God bless them, but you can't do that. And they did the same thing. I mean, they played more of the game in Chicago, but the first period they were sleeping. But one of the things, aside from the defense, which we've talked about, that must improve is our power play, Travis.
Oh, our power play and our penalty kill both have been awful. Both
penalty kill goes hand in hand with defensive play more. So, you know,
special teams. You're not going to win this league if you don't. And maybe they're going to have to start doing this. Major changes to the power play, do three forwards, two defense, or switch it up a bit more. You're going to have to.
To all our listeners out there, I just want to say something. Now, I have, you know, a physical disability. I walk with a cane. But even I move more than the Leaf power play. Like, I've never seen something more stagnant in my life. They stand still. They look like a bunch of statues.
And it's all the same guys that have been around for the last 2 years. So I don't understand how it's not working. Maybe they're not changing it up a little bit. Maybe that's, like I said, another thing with Babcock. You might have to change up your style a little bit.
I mean, listen, it ain't working, folks. Like,
nope.
I can see it. You can see it. Three quarters of Leafs Nation can see it. Daredevil can see it.
Ray Charles.
Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, Andrea Bouchard. They can all see it. Right? And not Babcock.
Yeah, Adam, there's going to have to, well, heads will roll if it keeps going worse, but I have a feeling that we're going to win the next two games.
Hopefully that'll kick us into
a bit of a winning streak.
If they do, I'm coming to you for the lottery numbers. That's, I'll tell you that right now. The power play's got to improve. Keep it simple. Like, I understand, you know, just get the puck through. Get a dirty goal. I don't understand why this team is fixated on every friggin' goal has to be a highlight. It's got to, again, I said it the last time, it's got to be the goddamn TSN turning point every time. I don't understand. Get a greasy one. Get it off Hyman's ass, off Janssen's elbow. I don't care how it goes in. Just put it in. Get shots on net. You know, in the start of the third period, they had a power play and not even a measly shot.
Yeah, that was pretty pathetic.
But they waited about 3 minutes in the game, and then they were rolling.
I need better starts. I need better starts to periods. I need better starts to games. And that's on the top players for Toronto because they're the ones that gets the starts. Let me see a good shift out of you, Austin Matthews, or you, John Tavares, the first shift of the game. Let's see a couple shifts in a row that just shows me that you're fit up with this.
You know, the best part of this, of last night, Travis, was that despite those moronic fools in Long Island still chanting, "We don't need you," and yeah, traitor, and this and that. Let it go, you morons. But aside from that, the best part of last night was watching Tavares get a goal and an assist against them.
Just
quiet those fools a little bit. But aside from that, you know, yeah, the score looks, hey, it was close, but it really wasn't.
It wasn't.
Well, yeah, it's very, very deceptive. So clearly, I mean, this episode wasn't as positive as we'd like. But look, folks.
Yeah, it wasn't as negative as I thought it was going to be either, Adam. We kind of got through it. I thought we were going to burn Babcock to the ground, but we were still in playoffs.
I mean, we'd have to like pick up his ashes from the last episode and reconstruct him and then burn him down again.
But, oh, I think we can get. Folks, I think we can get far worse with him. Yeah. I think we can.
Look, here's the thing. They got. I think what is it? Eight games before December 1st. You know, yeah. December 1st. You know, end of November, December. That's American Thanksgiving. That's usually the real turning point.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you this right now. If we don't come out of that stretch 500 at bare minimum, I think Babcock is going to be in trouble in terms of his job.
I can't argue with you because the guy in the AHL is Kyle Dubas' guy junior hockey.
Get your bags ready. Pack them because I think... Listen, I think you're going to be up here before you know it. I hope the Leafs can improve, and I hope we stay in a playoff position. But even if we don't, after this year, the only way I want to see, I'll tell you right now, the only way I want to see Babcock back here next year is if we hoist the cup.
The only way I want to see Babcock back here is if he's doing Coach's Corner.
Well, yeah, because... Don Cherry got fired, so he needs somebody. And we know Babcock can say some stupid shit, so he fit right in with Don Cherry's old spot. folks, I don't know what to tell you. It's this team is frustrating because they show you flashes of good, and then sometimes like in that 3-1 win, the 2-1 win. When it looks like, hey, man, when they want to, they can tighten it up and they can play in those one-goal games and this and that. And, you know, Nylander gets those beauty goals. Matthews gets those pretty goals. And you think things are rolling. And then it's like watching most of these games recently, it's like being one of those horror movies, you know, where you just walk down the hallway and it's darkly lit. There's nobody around and there's this creepy music playing. And you just know something terrible is going to happen. That's what watching the Leafs play is like the last few games. They got to, again, I don't understand. I'm banging against the wall, against the desk here. It's wood. I don't know what we're going to have to do to knock the message through. It's either one of two things. Either the players have tuned them out, Babcock now, they've tuned them out, or... they're trying what he's implementing, and it just doesn't work. And it's time to try something else.
Yeah, one of the things about coaching, Adam, is being able to adapt and change on the fly, in-game changes. Babcock has made some bad decisions over the years. and it seems like he's stuck in his own ways. Like you said, I think that he could be in trouble if they don't. If they do what you said, that I think that he's on thin ice. But I'm hoping that they will turn it around. I'm still staying positive right now, but it's getting harder and harder, especially with each decision he makes.
So, dear listeners, let's keep our fingers crossed. Do your pregame rituals. Say all the prayers you can. Whatever works, whatever gets the most. Whatever you did the last time the Leafs won a game, do it again. And let's hope we can get some this thing turned around. Because this is the second episode. I haven't swore yet on this show in Italian. I know people that are listening are waiting for it. I've had to really contain myself and control myself, but I don't know how much longer I can do this, folks.
Oh my God! If they do another 4-4-2 in their next 10, you're gonna that's gonna end.
This PG-13 podcast is gonna turn R real quick.
Oh, 100%.
So like, let's hope that let's hope we have a better stretch here. Let's look at, before we get out of here, let's look at the next handful of games here. All right, so we've got coming up, we've got, of course, the Boston Bastards, a.k.a. the Boston Bruins, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Vegas Golden Knights, the Arizona Coyotes or Phoenix, whatever the hell they're called nowadays. The Colorado Avalanche. Oh, yeah, we're going to see Uncle Phil on soon. Good.
Oh, nice.
Well, somebody bring him a hot dog. The 23rd, we get to see the Avalanche and Kadri. Get ready for a hat trick for Kadri in that game. And then the 27th, we've got the Red Wings. And then we wrap up with a back-to-back. We wrap up November with a back-to-back. Of course, it's a back-to-back because why not? With the Buffalo Sabres, November 29th and 30th. So, Travis, in that stretch of games, what would be a good result for you? What would be a good in 8 games? What would be an acceptable, a good record for you?
6-2, Adam.
All right, I'm gonna give them a little bit of leeway. I'll say if they go 5-3, I'll be happy.
Okay, that's not a bad one either. I was debating between that one and 6-2, but so that, I feel like they can go 6-2.
There it is. That's my prediction. I hope for more, but that's what would make me happy. This was a nice cathartic experience. I'm a little bit more relaxed now. My nerves are a little bit more calm. I'm ready for tomorrow. Well, I can relax until tomorrow night, and then I'll start over again. But Travis, this has been fun. If people want to continue talking Leafs with you, where do they go about doing that?
They can find me on Twitter at Travis_156. You can drop me a line and we can chat Leafs, pretty much any sports team in the major 4 sports. I can chat a little bit about any of them. I waste a lot of time watching sports.
And if you want to talk to me, it's Adam_LeafFan on Twitter and or on Facebook. Find me, and most of you people that listen know who I am, so we'll talk. You'll see my rants on Facebook there too. I got rants all over the place, but contact me and we'll talk. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you got through the your anger and frustration with us. Hopefully it's a more positive and upbeat episode.
Let's hope for an 8-0 run here.
Oh, that would be some sort of miracle. That'd be a Christmas miracle a month before Christmas. But we hope next time will be a much more positive, upbeat episode. Until then, go Leafs go, and Leafs forever from the first goal to the last. So long, everybody.
Later, guys. Yeah.